It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Philly's Backstage. I'm Tom Burgoyne. I'm joined by partner in crime, John Brazier. How you doing, John?
I'm doing great, Tom. I went to Dave Matthews on Saturday night.
You've been on a roll, by the way.
And
soccer, concerts.
I went to the soccer game, saw Aston Villa play Newcastle at the Link on Sunday. So, and I had a radio show yesterday in North Wildwood, so I combined all that in. A good weekend.
You're on a roll.
I'm on a roll.
The Fanatic was in Cleveland yesterday. I was with the Fanatic. It was Slider's birthday in Cleveland. So the Fanatic was there with a couple of his buddies.
And who's his best friend out there of all the mascots?
Who's Slider is the man.
Slider's the man?
Yeah, Slider's the man. I don't know if you saw the broadcast, but the Baltimore Bird tried to infiltrate our home broadcast booth while the Fanatic was in there visiting T-Mac and Ruben. And it almost came to fisticuffs, John. Actually, T-Mac, you know, T-Mac's like, this is a birthday party, Fanatic. What's with the violence?
Which then, hold on, we'll bring in our guests in 2 seconds. But then what you just reminded me of was when we got swept by the Orioles was it the Vet, right?
No, it was Camden Yards. No, it was in Camden Yards.
Oh, it was in Camden Yards.
Yeah.
Right, and all right, well, Taryn Hatcher is going to be our guest coming up, so I'm going to have her. She's listening here.
Should I tell Taryn the story?
Well, go ahead, tell the story.
Because I think we've told this story before.
I did, but you got to tell it anyway.
So, Taryn, so the Phillies are playing. It's interleague play, kind of in the early years of interleague play, and we're in the about to get swept on a Sunday afternoon. So the Baltimore Bird is on top of the Phillies dugout in the ninth inning with a broom. And, you know, that's a faux pas. I'm sorry. In the mascot world, that's just a little over the top. So anyway, John Vukovich was still with us at that
point. And you never knew John, but John was he could have a temper. Oh. I've been on the receiving end of the temper.
And you could see, like, even that I remember watching it on TV, and, like, I remember thinking, geez, you know, and Vuk was looking up at the Bird, and sure enough, Baltimore wins, and the guy who...
But the broom was going down, like, literally in Vuk's face. Like,
he was being obnoxious. So game ends, and the Bird's best friend was actually hanging out in his dressing room, in the Bird's dressing room after the game, and no knock, the door flies open, and it's John Vukovich. The veins are bulging in the neck.
You do not want to be on that side. I've been on that side.
The door flies open, and he goes, "Where's the Bird?" And this guy's got his feet up at his desk in this dressing room, and he's immediately stricken with fear, and he looks at John and goes, "Oh, you just missed him. He left 5 minutes ago." And
he bought it hook, line, and sinker. And although maybe he was just letting him off.
He basically said, if I see him on our dugout with a broom next time, I'm going to shove that broom so far. Yeah. You know?
Oh, my gosh. Wow. The Bird gets like a little taste of winning.
I mean,
the Orioles are like, what, second best record in baseball now? So he goes out to Cleveland and thinks he can just walk into our booth.
Thank you, Taryn.
The hubris.
The Fanatic was personally offended.
Yes. So.
I mean, and I've seen Gritty do so much worse that I feel like I don't know where the line exists anymore, if there is one, but
well, there is a line.
Let's talk about that because you have covered pretty much all the sports, right?
Yeah.
But Eagles, you've done Eagles too, right?
Yeah.
Not studio, sideline,
but I've done studio and then I've done like post game for SNC and NBC 10, like which airs the next morning.
Now, when you started out in the business, I know you basically did a bunch of things. You worked in radio.
I did whatever I was told to do.
Right. So you worked in radio. And then you went out to Hawaii and you worked in...
I interned in radio first and to get into internships at Comcast Sportsnet, now NBC Sports Philly. And then I interned up in CBS and then was at Rutgers. I did WRSU because it was our only live game option until Rutgers joined the Big
Ten.
Radio,
not TV.
Radio, okay. Yes. Until Rutgers joined the Big Ten. And then basically they were like, you're new here. like to the school. It's like, you guys are new here, and all these other schools, they have a great, it was called Student U. I don't know if Big Ten still does it, but Big Ten Network had these great opportunities where they needed some student covered games and some games that they would bring in a crew for. And they used me for the student games. And then eventually they were just like, we'll put you on a crew. We can't pay you a lot, but we'll pay you. And I was like, yeah, whatever. And I like didn't have an agent. I was a senior in college.
But are you pretty versed in sports at this point? I mean,
oh yeah.
So like, you were a huge sports fan. You knew enough to be.
Yeah, but I was always like, my sports viewership growing up was probably a little bit different than like the traditional Philly sports fan. Like I will always say this, my first team, my first love was the Philadelphia Charge, and I wanted to be Heather Mitts.
Excellent.
I went to Philadelphia Kick soccer camps with my brother. Like that was kind of the first into it. And then I loved watching, like, we were really competitive swimmers. Well, we were competitive swimmers. I won't say really. Growing up, we were little. So I loved watching swimming. And my dad was a D1 basketball player. So we loved watching college basketball. But then when you grow up in Philly, like, you just, like, the culture of the city is sports. Here, Boston, Chicago, it's like the city culture is so driven by sports that it's just by osmosis a part of your culture, I feel like. So I would say my, like, intro to sports was a little bit
some of the non-traditional
different
sports.
Yeah. Yep. But it was also, I mean, credit to my dad. It was like, this is where women have sports opportunities. And he wasn't, I think, intentionally trying to push me to, you know, go, we want you to only watch WNBA and women's soccer and whatever. It was just, that's what I liked. He liked watching it too. Like, we would go to U.S. Women's National Games, the Link, you know, stuff like that. Carly Lloyd's from my hometown. So there were certain connections where it was like, that was my my probably first priorities in sports.
And did you play, Taryn, as a kid? Did you play?
I played a ton of soccer. I played like everything, but I played a ton of soccer. That was what I'd say is my primary sport. My dad really wanted me to play basketball, and that was just.
You didn't play?
I did. I played AAU until like eighth grade. I did the whole thing, and it was just like, I was like 5'10 as a 13-year-old, and so everybody wanted to make me a center, and my dad was like, you got to play point guard if you want to play in college, and there was not a place in the world that was going to play me at point guard. Plus, I refused to take an outside shot in a game. I refused. I absolutely refused.
Like Ben Simmons.
Oh. I mean, I think I have a little bit more moral fiber, but.
And a better jump shot, I'm sure.
My dad really, like, he, and I loved watching college basketball, especially with my dad. So that was really, like, that's how I figured out I wanted to be a sports reporter, was like, we were watching a Duke-UNC game at Duke, and it was like,
hopefully rooting against Duke.
I went to
UVA, so Duke is basically the devil.
You want to know what it was?
They are literally the devil, the blue devil.
Well, okay, I didn't.
I'm kidding.
I was rooting for Duke. I was a big JJ Redick fan back in middle school.
We share the same birthday, by the way. Me and JJ.
You and JJ Redick. Yeah. Wow,
a little older, but.
I mean, who would know if you didn't tell him?
Who would know?
So, yeah, that was my...
So wait, where did your dad play basketball?
Ryder.
Okay.
Yeah, he played at Ryder, and shockingly, as he was a guy with a good three-point shot. So that was kind of like, you know, the stereotypical, like, and then I loved watching, like, the J.J. Redicks of the world, and that's what I wanted to do was, like, I was like, I'm not going to be as athletic as certain people, but maybe I'll have, like, you know... I'll be like my dad and be like a 3-point shooter, like a and like the Kyle Korver of the world. Yep. I remember watching and being like, this is how I imagine my dad played, even though I had no real bearing on how he played because I never watched it. I just play 1-on-1 with him in the park and he would just absolutely destroy me. But I was like, I'm going to be, you know, like a point guard with the 3-point shot. And I was not at all. And I refused to take them. And I was a soccer player. So that's who I was. That's what I was.
And a Phillies fan, I would think, because I'm just doing some math, Taryn. And it's very, you were about 15.
By the way, math's not very
not
good.
Not very good.
So I can't wait to hear
me
this.
Either. Me either.
I got out the calculator. You were about 15 when the Phillies won in 2008.
2008, yeah.
Now, was that a big day in your life? Or like, did you go to the parade? Was that a big, were you following the Phillies
at
that point?
I was not allowed to go to the parade and I, because of soccer, and I, it was like a big thing in our school.
Yeah.
It was like a big.
So you're in 10th grade, right?
15 years old, something like that? Yes. What is sophomore year of high school?
10th grade.
Sophomore year of high school, yeah. Yeah, I remember watching like every single game and when the parade was happening, there was all these conversations with the parents of, are you going to take your kid out of school to go to the parade or do whatever? And then were the, was the Interscholastic League or whatever the league was for the high school teams, were they going to postpone the games that day so kids could go, and then they weren't going to? And then if you were on the team but you didn't come to practice that day, were you going to be eligible to play in the next game? Right. And all this stuff. And so I could not go. And I just remember being like, because we knew kids who didn't tell their parents and rode their bikes across the Betsy Ross Bridge. And then down to watch the parade. I knew kids from my high school who did that. And I just remember sitting there in school, like seething as not just like when the parade was happening, like leading up to it, where I was like, I'm very serious about soccer, but this is wrong. Well, like,
I shouldn't admit this because this is going to, man, it's going to date us. But we were both 15 years old.
I was going to say
for the 1980 parade.
Exactly. 1980,
and
we were both 15.
And we both snuck out of school, right? Yeah, I was there. You were out of
school. Actually, I went to the prep. So they knew everybody.
You're right
was
there. I,
it,
I came
so
down
they
here.
School down.
But yeah, one person with 15 for the 2008, one person, two people. Yeah.
Hey, can whatever. I ask you about the phenomenon of the 19? So this is the 2008 team, and I'm seeing.
Did you
this
have a
now.
Favorite player on that team, by the way?
I think like everybody, Chase. I don't know. Now I know Shane better from working out in Hawaii. And so I would like to retroactively say Shane, but I think it was everybody was like most people, like the default was Chase probably. So I would say maybe Chase. It wasn't about like a favorite player. It was just so fun to be a part of it because just like the Super Bowl run, it's one of those things where you're like, where is it going to go wrong? It always goes wrong, and it's always in the most heartbreaking moment, where is it going to go wrong? And for some reason that year, I just didn't have that feeling. And it was more for me, it was just, this isn't going to go wrong, is it? Like, this is great. I mean, and I was 15 and an idiot back then, so who knows what I really knew.
I think the Brad Lidge going, like,
that totally
just
helped.
Knew when he came into a game. So it gave us more confidence, think, just to think, we're not going to lose a game.
I do want to ask, so I've noticed now, there are lots of kids who are, how many years ago? 2008 was 15 years ago, right? There are lots of kids that I know who are in that 12 to 15 age range named Chase, Cole, Colton, Shane. Was that didn't happen in 1980 or did it?
My oldest son's name is Bull.
Really?
Yeah. No.
I have to say, what a choice by you.
Tug,
what a choice.
Tugger Burgoyne.
Yeah. Second kid's name, Sixto.
My cousin's son's name is Colton. Yeah. And he's like, there's like Colton B, Colton M. Like in my school, it was Katie, Megan, and Sarah. There were 100 of them. Now it's the Coltons and the Chases. There's so
many
of them.
It's such a slippery slope. I mean, I think there were a lot of Carsons born. And, you know, things can go wrong.
You can't rename your kid, right? Like how many Ben Simmons people named after
Ben
Simmons?
How many Bens are there?
And they're like, all right, we're not calling you Ben anymore. Your new name is Joel.
Joel.
Like, what?
Have to ask you about your Hawaii experience. It sounds like that was really kind of your
break-in.
It sounds because you were an anchor person in Hawaii, right?
Yeah.
And how was it? Was that in Oahu?
On Oahu,
Okay.
So Big Island is geographically the biggest island, but it doesn't have a big population because there are two active volcanoes on Big Island. So people get a little confused so Oahu, where Honolulu is the most populated island by far. So that's where I was. And all the news stations are based out of Oahu. And then we'll have like stringers or reporters who are on other islands that correspond with us. But yeah, it was crazy. It was just, I was in college and I was doing sideline for Big Ten Network stuff. And I graduated college a semester early because I thought it would be a competitive advantage to not graduate in May and send out my reels when everybody else was sending out their reels. I was like, I'll force myself to graduate in December. And my dad was kind of like, I remember I was doing my senior thesis paper for my political science degree. And I was like needing a break because it was like this 30-page paper. So I called my dad about helping me move stuff home. And he was just like, so what are you going to do? Like, you're just going to come home? And I was like, well, no, I'm going to do sideline until I find a job. And I had been offered I'd had a conversation with a professor who wanted to give me a graduate assistant opportunity if I wanted to continue my poli sci degree. So that was a backup. And he was like, yeah, but like, you need a job with health insurance. Me and mom really like, we support you and they really have along the way, but you need to be like a big girl and get some health insurance and coverage for your contact lenses and stuff. And I was kind of like, okay, Dad, you know what? We get off the phone, just out of spite, I'm going to go and apply for every job I see, and then you won't have to worry about it, since, you know, being a part-time sideline reporter and part-time Chickies and Pete's waitress isn't good enough for the future. and I applied to a job in Green Bay, Wisconsin, Honolulu, Hawaii, and someplace in Missouri that I cannot even remember the name of. And like
you
that
ended
night,
up in the right choice.
And that
yeah.
night, and
tell me about
Green
it.
Bay didn't get back to me for like 2 months. And by that point, I was already living in Hawaii. Yeah. And the Missouri place was like, yeah, actually, we filled that role. Thank you so much. And then in Honolulu, I got a Facebook message on Messenger from the news director there, Scott Humber. Amazing guy. He's not there anymore, but he's awesome. And he's like, we watched your tape. We really like you. How serious are you about moving to Hawaii? And I'm like, 21. And I'm like, I always told myself, whatever I had to do, wherever I have to go, even if it's not the position, the job I want, or the market I want, I'm just going to go and I'm going to work my hardest. And I was like, yeah, I'm pretty serious. Just let me know what you need to see from me. I'll send you more reels, more updated stuff, like whatever I got. And some of them were like fake stand-ups that I just did when I had access to a camera. I just like changed my shirt, go to a different spot, record a different stand-up, pretend like it was for a package or something, and went out there, auditioned. They offered me a job, and then they were like, when can you move out here? And I had scheduled 2 sideline jobs for Big Ten Network. And I said, I can move whenever they're done. And I wasn't even done with finals by the time I had had some of those conversations. So I was sort of like, I really hope I do well in these finals. So this degree goes through all smooth and everything's good to go. But
and how long are you out there till?
3 years, right?
I was out there 3.5 years. So I moved out there like January of 2015 and I came back July of 2018, so just in time to miss the Super Bowl. It was really something. But yeah.
And you got a chance to. I know Shane lives in Vegas, but he spends a lot of time in Hawaii.
There, yeah.
And did you meet him in those 3 years?
He was my first interview.
Oh, he was. Yeah,
he has a celebrity golf tournament over there every year.
Yes, yep. Yes. Yep. But he, my first weekend, and that really set the bar way too high for what I was able to do, because he came in and our anchor was just like, hey, we have an opportunity to interview Shane. I can't do it. Do you want to do it? And I was like, oh my gosh, yes. Cause I like have some actual like, you know, questions I want to ask, not just from like research and writing them down, whatever. And then had this great interview with Shane, and my bosses were just like, this is great. Like you got Shane to come in and you got all these great questions for him. And it was a great interview. And I'm sitting there like green as can be. And I'm just like, yeah, this is luck of the draw.
Right.
And then, you know, for like the next 6 interviews after that, it was became more clear that some of my interview skills were not quite as refined as they came off in the Shane interview. And
because like, what kind of sports were you covering over that? I know University of Hawaii football team, right?
Yeah. University of Hawaii football, men's, women's basketball, men's, women's volleyball. The Pro Bowl was still there when I was there.
Golf.
PGA Tour, yeah. LPGA Tour. The LPGA Tour out there was really, really fun, actually. The Lotte is like on the most beautiful course on the west side of Oahu. Surfing, which I'm like, once I saw it in the Olympics, I was just like calling my agent and I was like, get me on surfing coverage, please, whatever you have to do.
How's that? You're on
so
a beach
fun.
With a microphone and
so
you got the
cat.
Did you know what you're looking for?
And yeah. Once you watch and you get a feel for it, like it's not like the hardest, I feel like, sport to really break down, other than there's like now people do aerial aspects of surfing, and there's the argument about aerials versus, you know, like classic surfing where like it's glassy waves, you get tubed, you come out of the tube, doesn't crash on you, that kind of thing, how big the wave is. But it was great. I mean, I would basically convince, once I was like 24 and somehow ended up in charge of the sports department a little bit, I would convince them like, hey, just send me up there. I don't need anybody to help me out. I'll take a live view, which is like the backpack that helps you transmit your video back, and a laptop and a camera. I'll do it all myself, and I'll just record the contest all day, shoot a stand up or a live if you want me to. And I'll cover, you know, the Triple Crown of Surfing from the North Shore.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
She learned from watching Fast Times Ridgemont High when Spicoli was out there. Yeah. All I need is a tasty wave and a cool bud.
Yeah. And then I'm going to go over and party with the Stones.
Right. Yeah, no, it was, it was every bit as cool and as fun. I mean, I'd be sitting here and I'd
be
like,
why did you leave? The, like, I'd still be there.
This is the biggest boondoggle anybody's ever pulled off. Right. I was just sitting up here on the North Shore of Oahu doing this. But
and by the way, there's so many, like Kauai. I'm sure you went over to Kauai and Maui.
No, never. I
never went to Kauai.
Too broke. Had no money and
well,
had no time
too,
off.
You're young, living over in Hawaii. The living expenses.
I had no money and I had no time off because people all the time will ask me for like recommendations. Like my parents are going to Maui and I'm like, tell me how it is.
Right.
Never went to Maui. Never saw.
Maui's great.
I mean, that's the reality of when you start in the business. You make no money. You do it because you love it.
Yep.
And you really do, like, especially if you're a low man on the totem pole. Like when I came in, I just turned 22, fresh out of college. It's like any day you can take that you can be on air, even if it's day number 11 of working 11 days straight, you just go on air and you suck it up and you're like, thanks for, I mean, way worse things happen to way better people. So I'm not complaining about it, but people are always like, what do you mean you never went to like Kona?
Right.
Yeah, and I'm like, my guy, I ate Bush's baked beans for like a year.
You're eating baked beans in Waikiki. So what was the impetus
of leaving Hawaii? What did you get a job offer
from Philly?
Yes.
You got a Philly job offer. So you were actually at that point sending out tapes and.
Yes and no. So I always stayed in contact. I'd intern at Comcast Sportsnet. I'd always stayed in contact with some of the bosses over there and some of the talent over there. And I'd actually talked to, it was Michelle Murray, who was one of the like office or manager people who brought me back, I should say, for lack of a better phrase. And I had talked to her before my last contract negotiation with Hawaii News Now, because I didn't have an agent at that point. And I said, just tell me what to do. I'm negotiating for myself. They're paying me good money now. Like once they really saw how much I was working and some other people in the department had left or had been let go, you know, they'd given me a couple of promotions kind of back to back to back and then, you know, decent money to go with it. And I could live a little bit. But I was like, tell me what to ask for. Cause now it's about setting up the rest of my career. And she said, as a manager, I'm going to regret saying this, but you ask for everything and you make them say no, because if you ask them for three things, they'll say no to three. If you ask for 10, they'll say no to nine, but saying no to nine things makes them feel bad about the one.
Right.
So I asked for like probably seven or eight things, like a couple of markets, you know, things about holidays or money or clothing allowance. Cause that's like the big thing. You don't have money, but you still have to wear different clothes every day on air. And it was basically everything was a no except for national or Philadelphia. And then Philly came calling and they were sort of like, we love this opportunity for you, but you're under contract. And I was like, but you gave me an out for Philadelphia. And my boss was like, no, we gave you an out for Philadelphia. Yeah. I forgot. And he was really, my bosses out there were, no one talks about their managers the way the people who worked at Hawaii News Now talked about Rick Blangiardi and Scott Humber. They're amazing. But he was just sort of like, I don't think we can let you go until your contract's up, which is off season because I signed my first contract in January. Most people move jobs in the summer. So you might have to wait till January if they still want you to go. And at this point, it's like May or June and they want somebody before football season. Mm. And I was like, yeah, but I have an out. And then he was like, oh, that's right. And then I was able to come back and
yeah, and how important was that internship at Comcast when you were in school? What kind of things were you doing? And I guess you made the contacts.
I would say that was the most important part.
What did they have you doing, though?
I was annoying. So I got to do more stuff because I really irritated people to do more stuff. Really, what we were supposed to do is if you were on night shifts, you were just doing feeds. So they'd have different interns on different computers and each one would be watching a different game and you'd be marking plays and highlights and stuff because it was harder to edit back then. It's 2013, but like sound like dinosaurs when we talk about it. It was different editing back then. And so they need
still
to be
digital, but it's,
yeah, but it was harder to like call up
right
stuff. So you'd mark stuff and say, you know, LeSean McCoy first down here after breaking off a 15-yard run and you'd tab it. And then if someone needed LeSean McCoy highlights really quick, they could search tabs and, you know, so that's what the interns would do.
I see.
And then I would be like, hey, I do my classes online on Tuesday. Can I come in during the day? Because that's when I figured out that I could go shadow some practices or see the talent that was working, because we would have like Philly Sports Talk and all that stuff back then that would record a little bit earlier in the day. And so all the prep work was done from that, from like 2 p.m. until 6 or whatever. And I just planted myself at an empty desk right between Derek Gunn and Ricky Pitalico, and Michael Barkham was right like across from me, and Amy Fadul was right behind me. So I would just sit there and I'd be like, what do you need? How can I help you? What can I do?
Smart for you.
And then, you know, I just kind of, whenever I could, I'd be like, hey, I don't want to
bother
you.
Ricky was the most annoying, right?
Ricky was by far the most willing to, like, I didn't want to annoy anybody. And then I realized,
like, I say
that
lovingly because I love Ricky.
Yeah, I love Ricky too. But Ricky, like, I was always like, I don't want to annoy anybody. So I'll just like wait until they turn around and start conversation. Then I'll sit quietly and I'll wait like 30 seconds and I'll be like, yeah, that's really interesting. And insert myself. Ricky would just be like, so Taryn, right. What are you studying? Show me your homework. Like Ricky would just talk to you. Yeah. So it was,
you don't want Ricky doing your homework for
let
you.
Let me just tell you a Ricky Pitalica story. I think I've told this on the air, but back at the Vet, right? I used to play ice hockey at the Wells Fargo Center, or I guess the Spectrum back then. And I'd keep my hockey bag in the cubicle. I can't believe I did that because hockey bags don't smell very good.
No, they don't.
So I always had two sticks and I had a Mylek like ball, right? And in the middle of like, Ricky would come over in full uniform when he's pitching about 6 o'clock for a 7 o'clock game. He'd come across the hallway into our office and he'd say, Brazier, come on, let's play hockey. So again, people were working in the cubicles all over, and Ricky would get on and I'd play goalie and he'd shoot down the hallway and Chrissy Long and all these people are on the phone doing the whatever and we're playing hockey there, right? So he's in full uniform. I said, all right, Ricky, my turn. Let me, you play goalie. So I take a shot and I do a kind of a snapshot and it rises faster than I thought, right? And Ricky gets alligator arms and he can't get out of the way. The ball hits him square right in the mouth and he starts bleeding all over his uniform, which he's got to wear in an hour in the dugout. And Frank Kopenbarger was our equipment manager, and Frank was pretty tough. And all Ricky could say with basically like a bloody lip saying, Frank's going to kill me. Frank's going to kill me.
Oh my gosh.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sounds like a Ricky story.
Yeah, right. Sounds like a Ricky.
Sounds like a Ricky story.
Is he playing hockey in the offices at Comcast?
Ricky does everything. Ricky will show up for, let's say it's like a 7:05 first pitch. Ricky's in the office by like 1 p.m.
Because he's
and
bored.
No one knows why or really what he wants to do from like 1 until 6:30, but he's there. And this is before he started doing The Best Show Ever. Like now he does The Best Show Ever, so it like fills his time. But Ricky, during The Best Show Ever, during commercial breaks, he'll have a ball and he'll just like walk out of it's like a glass little editor's room. He'll walk out and sometimes he'll just like throw a ball against the wall during commercial break and then he'll go back in.
Sounds about right.
I'm just sitting there. I'm like, what do these interns think? And, you know.
Well, then also you have Barkan, who's also, in a great way, very goofy and funny and, you know, and Pitalico.
Taryn co-hosted with Al Morgani, like the head prankster of all time.
I was going to say, you got to keep your.
I get so many questions about, like, what is Al like? Because people have different interactions with him in public, and he's. Like always, their impressions are always different. It's like I said hi, and I couldn't tell if he was just like really busy or on another planet. Like, and I was like, Al is just he's your kooky, funny, aloof uncle who's like really not that aloof, but he kind of is at the same time. He's just
and a prankster too. Did he ever get you, Taryn?
Total prankster.
No, but he got. Oh, I gotta ask. I have to ask Natalie Eganoff. I'm like best friends with Natalie Eganoff, and when Natalie was younger, she worked at WIP and worked with Al. And I wish I could remember the story, but there was some story about, I think it was like Tasty Cakes had gone missing from the office or something. And then people were like, where did this go? Where did this go? And Nat's like trying to help people look. And then she gets home and she opens her bag and smashed into the bottom of her bag. It's like 100 like chocolate juniors or something. I have to ask her the story. And then she was like looking around and like, how did this happen? And I think the next day Al Morganti was like, how'd your backpack smell? Or like something weird like that. It was so, I have to ask Natalie a story. I'm sure I'm butchering it. Well, so
I mean, that was when you got hired full-time by NBC Sports Philadelphia. That was really your first gig, right? Doing the hockey with Al, or one of them?
Yeah, so I got hired to do like kind of everything. There was really a concerted effort to try to bridge the gap between what everybody was doing socially and what everybody's doing on linear TV. So I was brought in, like I would do NBC 10 on weekends, and I would fill in on Philly Sports Talk when we had it. And I would fill in if they needed a pre or post game host. And then the rest of the time, like I would go to Eagles training camp and get these digital videos that could then go into the news. Like they were supposed to be all these multi-platform things. So I had this job that I was so excited about. It's what I really loved about Sideline was I got to still do that. Where you're kind of doing like the fun man on the street stuff that hits on YouTube, but you try to also fit it into a TV show. Right. And then I actually did get to do like a traditional TV show other days of the week. And then they came to me right at the start of the 2018-2019 hockey season. And they were just like, we've auditioned all these sideline reporters. It's not really fitting. And we know, you know, about a lot about hockey and we know you want to do sideline reporting. So can you do this? Basically, like, can you just hop on it and do it? And I was sort of like, I'll give it a go. Of course, this is a really cool opportunity and I love Sideline, and did that until COVID hit.
And you were pretty confident in your hockey knowledge at that point.
I was.
It's funny, when you first started, yeah. I literally thought you came from Minnesota because I thought you were like at a hockey, I thought you were hired for your hockey expertise.
Did you watch my first season or the second season? Because the first season I was really like, I was standing there and I'm like, like I sit there all the time. And when people, there's some guy, wait, this is such a story. So there's this guy who would tweet at me and he'd be like, you know, I really didn't like Taryn her first season. I kind of thought she was stupid, but she's grown on me. I actually think she's pretty good now. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, not that upset about it. Cause I kind of agree. Like I wouldn't watch my sideline hits just because I was nervous because hockey, your sideline hits are like 10 seconds. Like right. There are times where Jeff Halkman will get in my ear and he'll be like, you can keep going during baseball because we'll have time or the pitcher slow out to the mound. Even with the pitch clock now, hockey, it's like, I remember one time we came back from break. I was 10 seconds into my story. I wasn't even off camera yet. And they dropped the puck on a power play and Claude Giroux drops it back off the circle to, I forget who just blasted a one timer and it was a goal 11 seconds into coming back from break.
Right.
So I was so terrified doing hockey. Plus hockey people, I feel like, it is a sport where if you're into it, you're very knowledgeable of it and people are very protective of it. So a slip of the tongue there, it was a little scarier for me because it felt like even if it was just like I misspoke.
Right. Someone might think you're
uninformed. And sometimes I did feel kind of like, you know, I also came from Hawaii where like hockey came on at 1 p.m. while I was at football practice for UH stuff or whatever. And so I would see scores a lot. I would read articles a lot, but I would not get to watch start to finish as much as I would have liked.
Are you in the line of fire too, by the way? Like, are you in the line of fire for like pucks? I mean, I'm sure you've got some, when you're down there, you got some protection, right?
Yeah, there's glass in front of me. When I used to do pregame warm-up interviews, there was one time where, and it was Ian LaPerriere who has like stitches all across his face from taking a puck to the face actually, where Claude Giroux and Jake Voracek would pass back and forth and almost try to ride the puck up each other's sticks. And like an errant puck came and like literally I felt like a breeze in my hair and I didn't see it. And I was just like, that was weird. And Ian LaPerriere is like, oh my God, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you? And I was like, you know, oblivious to the world. And I'm like, yeah, why? And Claude Giroux's come up, oh, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? And I'm like, what is going on? Someone tell me what's going on. And I just had a puck that just like breezed
my hair. How about baseball?
Have
you had a close call in baseball?
Yeah, kind of. I'm like behind a net and a thing there. And there's like a pole and a net. And sometimes the thing that's kind of tricky with baseball is there's a TV right in front of me and it's much easier to see the pitches on the TV than sitting on the side of the pitch like that. Like I can't see the motion of the ball as well as you can see when you're watching it on a TV with the strike zone box right in front of you. So sometimes I'll be watching the TV and you'll see someone foul one off towards the first baseline. And then it'll come at me and it doesn't even register until it's already past me and I'm looking down. And my dad's like, what are you looking down at? And I'm like, the TV in front of me where I can see the strike zone, you know, which some games doesn't even matter. So I don't know why I look at it. But
has a Fanatic ever bothered you down there? Because you are in the sight line of the Fanatic.
No.
The
Fanatic usually hassles the visiting sideline reporters because the Fanatic knows that our home sideline reporter has a job to do.
which some games is talking about dumplings. So it's okay if he bothers me, but no, he doesn't bother me.
Do you like it, Taryn? Do you like the baseball flow? I know weather's in it. Like, do you ever, I mean, it's one thing to be at a hockey game and, you know, 72 and room temperature all the time, but, you know, you can get caught in the elements here in baseball. That's one change,
last
right?
Last Saturday was really, like, I texted my dad. I was like, it was a great weekend of storytelling. And I was like, thank God we had good stories this weekend because that was the most miserable environment.
Right.
Not because of, I mean, the fans were great. I give credit to every single
How about
fan
that?
That
fans
sat there.
Got there, what? Like, well, the gates opened at 11:30, I guess, something like that.
Yeah.
And then the game ended at, what?
Yeah, it was
9,
incredible.
8:30
we had a full, we had a huge crowd still. It was awesome.
And I give every single one of them credit because, like, it was. And down on the field, someone told me down, one of the photographers told me down on the field, apparently real field was 110. Mm. Because I remember sitting there feeling like my skin is melting off my body right now. And I've been in heat. Like, I don't mind the heat, but it was so humid and there wasn't any breeze. And then Blake Snell's up there pitching in long sleeves. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing this to yourself?
Well, you were saying you do love baseball. And what do you love about it? Do you like the pace? Do you like having a little extra time to tell some
stories? I
love
the pace. I love that there's, like, there's a lot of, I don't know how to really, how to articulate this. There's so many ways you can approach storytelling in a baseball game because you can talk about the starting pitching, the bullpen pitching, the middle relievers, the hitting, the defense. Like, and then on top of that, there's a lot of human interest stories that you can interweave as well. And I used to, when I first started doing sideline with the Flyers, I used to feel like I wanted people to take me really seriously. And so I didn't want to do as much of like the fun stuff around Wells Fargo Center. And I did it because that's our broadcast partners and we should be doing these things. And sometimes people don't know all the cool stuff you can go do at a game, but there's something about, well, Wells Fargo now, and then here at the ballpark with the Phillies that I feel now that I don't care as much what people say when they say those things. And B, I feel much more confident in my abilities where it is also fun to go out in the park and do things here because it is, like, there's so much tradition and like family fun to baseball. I don't know how to articulate. So there's so many little aspects of reporting on a baseball game that are really fun. And the timing of it as well. The fact that there's a beginning, a middle, and an end to the action. It's a pitch. It's either a hit or a strike or a strikeout. And then a defensive reaction does make it a little easier for me as a reporter to gauge, all right, I should stop talking here. Whereas hockey and basketball, you don't know anything can happen at any time.
Has there ever been like in all the different sports, an awkward moment, whether it's the person you're interviewing kind of was awkward or there was maybe some contentious situation or what is the most awkward moment you've had as an interviewer?
When I was an intern, I'm just going to say the name because I don't think he would even really care if I told this story and I don't think he would ever listen. So when I was an intern up in New York, I had to go to Nets practice I was like very honored to get to go. And this is when Kevin Garnett was on the Nets and they were playing the Timberwolves, I want to say. So they were like, you have to go talk to KG about playing his former team and this and the next thing. And I'm like, yeah, that's going to be awesome. And then for some reason, the way this practice was structured, when it was done, PR was like, yeah, you can go talk to players. They weren't bringing people to podiums. You could kind of go approach them. And Kevin was just like sitting in this chair under a net and no one was going over to him. And I'm like 20 and my camera guy wasn't a normal sports camera guy. So he had never come to Nets practice either. So I was like, I guess we just go over to him. And he's like, yeah, I mean, we got to get the story. So let's just get it done so we can go back because traffic's going to be horrible. And I'm like, okay. So I go over and then the scrum, so like the other group of reporters, people don't know what a scrum is, it's kind of like trailing behind and I'm like, oh my God, okay, come on. And then we all kind of circle around Kevin and he's sitting and so all the cameras are shooting down on him and he has his head down. So all my camera guy's getting is the top and kind of the back of his head. And he's like, Taryn, you have to ask him to stand up. And I was like, yeah, okay, you ask Kevin Garnett to stand up. Absolutely not. And none of the other photogs had their reporter there. So sometimes news stations will just send their camera guy with a mic and other people will hold it for them. So I was holding other people's mic. So I was really the only
reporter
in that scrum. And so I'm like, I'm so sorry, Mr. Garnett. Do you think you could stand up? And he just looked me dead in the eyes and he was like, no. And I was like, okay, oops. I was literally like, okay.
Sorry, sir.
He's so intense. Right. Like, and I was like, okay, sir, like, I'm so sorry. Like, and I feel bad because he's like dripping sweat from practice. It's the end of the season. Right. I'm just like this little like 20-year-old. He's like, sir, will you please stand up? And so I'm like, okay. And then I kid you not, he had a towel around his neck, and before we walked over, he was putting it on his head and then putting it down on his neck and putting it. And as soon as I had asked that and he said no, another photog went to ask a question, but I was holding their mic for them. And he just put his towel all the way over his head and looked down as he's answering this photog. And so the only footage that anybody got from that day, I think, was just like a towel over KG's head. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is so embarrassing. And
Kevin, you know, he is a loyal listener of Philly Backstage. So he might be calling you. So I can't believe she told that story.
And what's it like working with Kruk? I go in the broadcast room before the games,
my gosh.
And Kruk will be on the couch and, you know, whatever, eating something that someone gave. That's got to be a trip. Working in an office with LA and Fransky and T-Mac.
Oh my God, it's hilarious.
Right?
If I had to listen to the song, What's the Fanatic Say on YouTube
LA
one more
loves
time,
that song.
What's the Fanatic Say? And I'm like, oh my God.
LA loves it. We did that like 7 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
It's in a constant loop on his computer.
And Kruk, Kruk, whatever he's talking about. He could be talking about when the FBI was, you know, following him back in the day. And I mean, you never know what's going to come out of that guy's mouth.
No. And I brought my cousins came to Sunday's game against the Padres. So there was like a rain delay and they were here and they have two little girls and I love them. I'm so close to them. So I was like, they're like, where can we go that's warm? And I was like, I'll bring you up to the Hall of Fame and, you know, and I needed to grab something out of the office. I was like, just come back with me, because at this point, like, everybody who knows somebody at the game is like filtering in and out of our offices, just trying to kill time. And I was like, just come back. And, the two little girls come into the office and John Kruk is there and they're kind of like, because they're like 3 and 8 and they're like, who are you? And it's John, and he's just got like still in the wrapper ice cream, like chocolate covered ice cream, something or other. And he's like, I'm John, you want this ice cream? And so they're like, and meanwhile, Eric, my cousin's husband is sitting there, and I introduced him to Mike Schmidt, was in the hallway, and John's in the room. And I'm like, guys, this is my coworker, Mike. He played for the Phillies. Right. And they're like, hi, Mike.
Coworker.
That's beautiful.
How they know him. I'm he's on the broadcast with me, Mike. He used to play for the Phillies. Hi, Mike. And this is the other guy in the broadcast. This is John, and that's Tom, and he works with me too. Hi, John. And then they're like, who are those people again? And I said, that's John Kruk and Mike Schmidt. They're pretty famous. Yeah. And Natalie, the little one who's 3, she goes, they're famous? I said, yeah. And she goes, should we tell them? And I was like, I think they know. I think they're aware.
John even has someone made a pillow for him, right?
John Kunk. The pillow says John
Kunk. Is that right?
Kunk.
Someone misspelled it.
K-U-N-K.
Someone made a needlepoint pillow and gave it to John. Poor little, it's probably a poor little lady, right? Gave this pillow and the, I don't know how long it took her. And it says John Kunk.
Kunk.
K-U-N-K.
No R involved.
Yeah, John Kunk.
And the letter that came with it says John Kunk as well.
That's
and you're
so
just
funny.
Like, oh, this poor woman.
And the last question before we go into the quiz, which I told you we're going to give you a quiz.
Yes.
And there's a T-shirt riding on this.
Christmas on a cracker.
But we haven't talked about, like, I guess with our guys too. I'm assuming we have it looks like we have a great, fun clubhouse, right?
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Enjoyed working with these guys.
My gosh. Like, last year I had to cover the wild card series, and I remember walking in and being like, this is the best baseball clubhouse. It's just awesome. The vibes, their willingness to talk with reporters, the way they talk about each other, the way they talk to each other, the way the coaching staff talks about them. Like, it's really... It's, you know, and I remember talking to Rob Thompson the other day about Johan Rojas, and he was talking about, you know, with somebody that young who both has so much like energy and ambition to do stuff, but is also very confident, but also has a lot to learn. Like, it's the perfect situation for him because there's so many guys that if he assimilates into the culture of that clubhouse, it's so great for him. I mean, that truly is, it is a, across any sports team anywhere, it is a great clubhouse.
That's great to hear. I think Rob sets the tone there.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Sure.
And I also think, you know, Reese when
Reese, you
know,
Bryce,
Reese.
Yeah,
Bryce
no question.
And Kyle Schwarber and just and even guys, some of the more lesser known guys, Garrett Stubbs.
Oh my gosh.
Everyone loves Garrett Stubbs. And then they make everyone feel welcome, whether it's Brandon Marsh or, you know, Stott, some of the younger guys, and boom. And it's a very welcoming clubhouse.
It's and when your stars are they don't really act like stars.
Right.
Like there might be certain things, like their bag might cost, but when they like Bryce could, there are athletes in other sports who are not even at the level of fame, I would say, as Bryce within baseball or within sports in the United States, where they're much more like, no, not today. And Bryce is so like, if my teammates have to do this kind of media, I'm doing this kind of media.
It trickles down.
There's a certain amount of like, this is how we act here. And if Bryce is doing it, it's expected. Reese is very much the same way. If Reese is doing it, then somebody else who would maybe today not feel like doing it but should does the right thing. It's a great and Rob Thompson and Kevin Long and Caleb Cotham, like across
Dusty.
The board. Yeah, they're just
Mike,
awesome.
Leitry.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right. Are you ready for this quiz? Now, again, I have 8 questions.
Do you have the answers to these questions?
Of course. I wrote the questions. So it's about your life. It is, you'll have multiple choice, A, B, C, D, right?
Oh, gosh.
And all you have to get is 6 out of 8.
6 out of 8.
And you get this. Tom, could you tell the listening audience what she would win?
Limited edition backstage with Burgoyne and Brazier t-shirt.
Okay. Limited edition.
Limited edition.
All right. Are you ready, Taryn?
Here we go.
I hope so.
Thanks for the visit. Let's get down to business. Now here's your chance to show how much you really know. He might get grumpy if he can't stump you with Brazier's Quiz.
All right. You're going to ace this one. I can tell. You went to Delran High School.
I did.
Right? Which celebrity did not go to Delran High School?
Okay.
So I've got 4 celebrities. 3 of them went to Delran. 1 did not. Okay? Don't answer before I let me read the list. Ready? Tony Sacca, former Penn State and Arizona Cardinals quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Former women's soccer superstar Carly Lloyd.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn Foley, former Jets and Boston College quarterback. Or Peter Vermes.
Vermes.
Former U.S. nice. Former U.S. men's soccer player and current coach of the Kansas City Wizards of the MLS. So was it Tony Sacca? Was it Carly Lloyd, Glenn Foley, or Peter?
Glenn. It's Glenn.
Glenn Foley. I tried
correct.
To trick you a little bit. He went
and
to
that's tough
Cherry Hill East.
John and I used to be in a golf tournament every year, Pro Day Golf Tournament.
Yep.
Remember that one, John? And it was always the athletes from that Delran and Burlington County and just that whole area. Is just, there are tons of
Mount
Pro
Holly.
Bowlers.
Yep.
And
Franco Harris.
A lot of soccer players. From
soccer,
Durant.
Football.
Yeah.
All right. You were 1 for 1.
All right. One
Tony,
for one.
I think Tony Sack was at the game the other day.
Is that right?
Someone told me that. Yeah. His mom taught at my middle school.
Oh,
Mrs.
all right. Well, you also graduated. We know this from your interview. You graduated from Rutgers.
Mm-hmm.
Who of these people did not go to Rutgers?
Oh, this sounds going to be harder.
So 3 went to Rutgers, 1 did not. Okay, here we go. Little Steven Van Zandt from the E Street Band, Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes, and the Sopranos. You know, it's Little Steven.
Yeah.
Actor James Gandolfini,
mm-hmm.
Sopranos, obviously. David Stern, former commissioner of the NBA.
Yeah.
And Bill Rasmussen, who is the founder of ESPN. So
I have no idea the answer to this.
So it's Little Steven,
some
James Gandolfini, David Stern, or Bill Rasmussen, founder of the ESPN.
I know Gandolfini used to go to a lot of Rutgers games, but I don't know if he went to Rutgers, actually.
So you're leaning towards James Gandolfini?
I think so.
You're thinking that Little Steven went to Rutgers?
No.
I was going to say, I think Little Steven dropped out of high school.
I don't know.
So what's your final answer?
Little Steven.
Little Steven.
Oh, we're
correct.
Giving it to her. Absolutely.
That was a thing. We would always talk about the James Gandolfini actually go to Rutgers because he would come to games all the time, and we just thought he's really into this whole like
according
jersey
to my
thing.
Research, he went to Rutgers. All right. We'll give you 2 for 2.
Okay.
All right. We mentioned Thanks. Hawaii. You were a former reporter for Hawaii News Now, right?
Mm-hmm. KGMB. KHNL.
How many inhabited, because there's 137 total islands, How many inhabited islands are there in Hawaii? Are there 10, 7, 5, or 4? 10, 7, 5, or 4?
Well, they call Las Vegas the ninth island, so...
Las Vegas would not be... So you're saying...
I thought it was 8.
Well...
7, I guess.
It's 7. Now, I have in my research Oahu, Maui, Hawaii, which is a big island, Kauai, Molokai, where Molokai was the... That was a pineapple, right?
That's where they have deer.
Dole. Yeah. And Lanai.
Lanai.
Or yep. Maybe that was a pineapple one. And then the last one is N-I-I-H-A-U. Nahu? And it's called the Forbidden Island. Has 170 people.
Yeah. Wait, let me see. Oh, no. Well, no. Sorry. I'll say 7, but I think there's Kaho'olawe, too, is an island that people don't live there anymore.
Well, I have 7, according to my...
There it is.
Niihau is what you're trying to say.
3.
You're on a roll, Taryn.
That makes sense. Niihau. All right. Wow.
I want to Google this while you're asking the next question. Go ahead.
All right. You work for the Big Ten Network. Mm-hmm. Which of these former quarterbacks did not play in the Big Ten? So 3 played in the Big Ten, 1 did not. Okay.
Good question.
Drew Brees, Kerry Collins, Tom Brady, Randall Cunningham. Drew Brees, Kerry Collins, Tom Brady, Randall Cunningham. You can use one lifeline. I forgot to tell you, Tom Burgoyne is your lifeline. If you really want to use a lifeline.
Tom, I'll use it.
Randall.
I was going
to
say.
Randall Cunningham went to UNLV.
Yeah, he's a Vegas boy.
All right. You are 4 for 4. Now we've got.
7 of 8 are inhabited on Hawaii. So you're right. But there's an 8th island that is not inhabited.
Okay.
Sorry. There you go. Sorry, I was Googling and I got distracted during the next question.
Scott Brandreth, our resident critic, cannot.
Apologies
get me on that
for
one.
Not paying that enough attention.
All right, now we've
attention
got three straight sports questions.
Okay.
Jesus. Pretty basic. Who led the Flyers in scoring last year? Was it Kevin Hayes, Travis Konecny, Owen Tippett, or Scott Laudon?
Wasn't it Hayes?
Are you going with Hayes?
Or was it Travis?
I'm not going to tell you one way or the other.
I really should have paid attention during the last question and not been Googling. Right. So I would have. I didn't even listen to your last question because I was
and
Googling.
And you've already used up your lifeline.
I know. That's why I'm saying I should have been not Googling and listened to who the multiple choice was.
Kevin
last
Hayes,
question.
Travis Konecny, Owen Tippett, Scott Laudon.
Oh, my God.
Most goals or leading?
No, leading scorer.
Leading scorer?
Okay.
Points. Is it TK?
Points. All right.
Travis Konecny is correct. You are 5 for 5. All right,
I feel really bad that I did not listen to the last question at all because I was
sorry,
so
I had
stuck,
you covered, Taryn.
Stuck on Hawaii. Now I wish I had my lifeline back.
Covered.
Sorry.
We are moving on to the Sixers. Where did James Harden go to college?
He went to Arizona State.
He didn't even need the multiple choice. All right.
He went to Arizona State, and so did one of my coworkers, played for the football team there. And he has the funniest James Harden story that I will absolutely not share.
Okay. We'll get it off the air. All right. You've already qualified the T-shirt. I'm going to give you the T-shirt
But
now you're going to go for perfection. You're going to go for the Brad Lynch.
Only a few
perfection.
Of our guests have gotten 8 for 8.
Right. All right. Number 7. Who leads the Phillies in hit-by-pitches with 6? Hit-by-pitches with 6. I'll even let you use a lifeline here because I'm curious to see if Tom would even be able to help you out here. Is it Josh Harrison, throwing you a little curveball there, Kyle Schwarber, JT Realmuto, Bryson Stott?
So I want us both to answer. I think it's JT.
That was going to be my guess.
Yeah.
JT is correct.
Nice.
6, yes.
There it is.
All right. Then the last question is, what country consumes the most coffee per capita in the world? What country consumes the most coffee per capita in the world.
Does this have something to do with Taryn's life? Or?
Kind of.
Okay,
I'll explain afterwards.
All right.
Latvia.
I went on a Euro trip, and my guess is it's one of the countries I Euro tripped through.
Latvia, which you didn't go. I don't think you went.
No, I did not go
Norway,
to Latvia.
Denmark, or Finland? Is it Latvia, Norway, Denmark, or Finland? There's people that say Luxembourg is actually number one, but I'm not buying it. I'm saying one of these countries is. Latvia, Norway, Denmark, or Finland. I wouldn't use a lifeline because
Tom's not going to know
this. Geographically inept.
I want Tom to guess as well. My guess would be Norway.
I'm a tea drinker. I don't drink coffee.
Take a guess. Apparently, it's Luxembourg, so we're all wrong. Which I didn't Euro trip through Luxembourg.
He's ignoring.
Yeah.
I don't believe the Luxembourg.
Google.
So I did go 7 for 7 for the actually correct.
This country,
answers.
The actually average
Denmark.
The average citizen consumes 12 kilograms of coffee every year, which is 423 ounces, which doesn't seem a lot for one person, but if
I would
it's
have
the
thought
average,
it was like a Colombia or like a certain country that was really big, or like I thought this
who
was going to be a Hawaii
it?
Question
no.
because
yeah,
Hawaii
yeah.
has great coffee as
Me
well.
Too.
Yeah, but you think about it, if you're cold, you got to like drink a lot of coffee, right?
I would guess Norway.
All right, where are you going? You going Norway? It's for perfection
take,
right here.
Yeah, go. You take a guess.
No, I'm not. This is your quiz.
No, but I know, but I would just, okay, I'm going Norway.
Why did I ask this question? The answer is Finland.
Oh, okay.
Because
she was just in Finland.
I Euro tripped through, like, yeah, Finland, Sweden, Norway, did the northern countries. Yeah.
She had it right in her grasp. All right. Well, you still won the shirt, so congratulations. Yeah. And if you want to give that to your mother,
next year I'm going to get tested for, like, I want to go to like Italy and Austria, and like I like all the weird countries. Yeah. And next year he's going to come to me like an Austria pop quiz.
We're all going to London.
You're
going
to have Sound of Music quiz.
I'm down for it.
You're going to head to London, right, Tyron?
A dear, a female. I would love to. I was just at the Chelsea game. I heard Chase Utley's kids are big Chelsea fans, and
is that right?
They had Mike and in the booth as well, so already four people. So I couldn't butt in, but I was like buzzing the mic with Jeff Halkman, and I'm like, I'm a Chelsea fan. If he like wants to talk about Chelsea, just let me know. And he's just like,
didn't get into the soccer talk.
Also, yeah. You might be going. I'm assuming you're going to Williamsport.
I don't think so.
Oh no, is that not a local? Oh, that's a national telecast.
National game. Yeah,
it's a national telecast. That's
right. I'll be up there.
I don't think so.
I'll be up there, and it's considered a Nationals home game too. So we're not going to have many Phillies up there, but.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Are we home in the London series, by the way? I think
one's a home game, one's an away game. Oh, we split it.
Interesting.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Taryn, you got to get to work. We got the Orioles tonight.
I know.
Really appreciate
this. I have to go do my makeup. Can I just sit in here and talk instead of yes. makeup yes. for this yes. show?
You don't need makeup. Makeup schmakeup. Now, Kruk needs makeup.
Oh. Why don't you be the fanatic tonight? Tom, you do the sideline
friend of the fanatic
reporting.
What's
and
that?
What do I do? Like,
just... bop around to suites. And
how about I do the sideline reporting?
Yeah.
And then you be the director of funny games.
I'll give you my backpack and you can put on your makeup.
Makeup.
Yeah. You can just don't use any of my lipstick or my mascara because that would be weird. But blush,
weird.
Bronzer, foundation, it's all you.
Perfect.
You want to gel your eyebrows into place?
Sure.
You need gelled eyebrows, John. All right, we got to roll. Taryn, again, thanks for spending time
Thank
with
you.
Us. Let's go Phils. Big Thank night tonight you. Against the Orioles. John, I guess we're signing off. And thanks for listening once again to Phillies Backstage.